Good morning. Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. Happy, is it Thursday? I'm in North Carolina. Good to see you. We are live in Charlotte today, which is very exciting. I am doing a shift workshop in Charlotte. But breaking news, I discovered late yesterday that the location was moved from the market center to another place. And so now I might be late, so we'll start when I get there, friends. It's all good. We'll make it happen. I'm excited to be in the Queen City today and to lead the Shift Workshop with 100 people from Charlotte, North Carolina. It's going to be awesome. I'm happy to see you. Today, we're having a great call. The thing about it is we have been, since Friday of last week, talking about how we remove this anxiety, we remove this stress that comes this time of year. Remember, if you hit your goals, you get anxious. If you didn't hit your goals, you get anxious. If you hit them, you're like, can I do it again? If you didn't hit them, you're like, am I going to do it again? And so we want to remove that stress and anxiety. And the way that we do that is that we get out of this obsession with outcomes that is so common in everything. We get out of the hustle culture and push, 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 and do more. We get out of all that. And we just narrow down to our process. But my takeaway the other day was, what if you don't even really understand, like you're like, well, what is my process? What am I supposed to do? So today we're going to do 2 days of building out the process, like what it's supposed to be. So how you figure that out. Now I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to help teach you how to figure out what to do. You have to come up with your own process. You have to figure out what works for you. But we'll talk about how to design it so that you can quit doing the three W's that most real estate agents do on a regular basis. Wake up, wonder, and wander. They wake up, wonder, and wander. They wake up, wonder what they should do, and wander around trying to do it. And I want to narrow the focus so that you can get after it. So we're going to do that at the top of the hour. In about 20 minutes, we will cover all that, and it'll be great. But leading up to that, you know, I always like to go in and ask questions from the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. Wow, I have 72 ticks. To the 13 of you who asked if I needed coffee this morning, thank you. I'm good. I appreciate you all. You are always so kind to think of me. All right. So I like to go into Facebook and the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group and pull out questions that you've asked in there to do on the top half of the call. And today it comes from our friend Terry Story. MREA comes to everything, super engaged in what we do, big fan of Terry Story. And she asked a very specific question. We're going to generalize it a bit, but she says, question. What does your best 30-second voicemail sound like following up on a lead that gets the most return calls? And how many messages do you leave before you give up? I want to do it. This is a great question. There are some good answers. I want to do it just a general, what's your follow-up play for a lead, incoming lead that comes in, and you need to stay in touch with them. And by the way, they may not respond. They may ignore you. They may, you know, you just have to keep running the play. I want to hear, what is your play? What's your follow-up plan? And Anna Kruger's here. I mean, they're putting in the chat, Anna Kruger, that they want you to say something on this. And I know that you teach your whole program on it. So I don't know if Anna Kruger is available to come off the mute. But if you are, I invite you to do so. Anna Kruger, I know you're on your way to Charlotte. We're going to see you today. This is right in your wheelhouse. I mean, your entire program, which, by the way, we're closing registration in like 10 days for that. And it won't open again until February. But your whole program is about this, Anna Kruger.
I so just ran out of mine at Starbucks.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. By the way, I'm good on coffee. Thanks for the offer.
You're welcome. I stopped on the interstate for some coffee. Yes. So this is such a good question. And voicemails are not a topic that's taught very often. So there's a perception that voicemails don't really work. But it's because they're not really taught very often on how to leave one. So the best voicemail, first of all, Harvard studied this, and if you call a lead 6 times in 6 days, you have a 90% chance of making contact, which is very impressive. And under 40% of agents even call one time. So the first thing I want to say to encourage you is, if you simply just call enough times, even if you're not that good and don't know what to say, you have you're above 95% of agents if you just call 6 times. The second thing is, when I first heard that, I thought, oh gosh, that sounds so spammy, 6 times in 6 days. I was kind of horrified. But then I learned that when you leave a professional voicemail, it takes you out of that into the professional realm. And so the best voicemail, there's a few key elements. I encourage everybody to jot these down. the best voicemails have a snippet of a value add. So, for example, it might say, I'm currently selling homes 20 days faster than other agents in the area. It's just a little tiny snippet. And then have a specific time for them to call you back by. So it could sound something like this. Hey, James, it's Anna here from She Knows People Realty. I saw you were on the website last night. That's so great. Wanted to let you know I do sell homes about 20 days faster than the average agent in the area. Call me back today by 5 o'clock. I'd love to explain to you how to do that. And the time bound makes a huge difference in whether or not they call you. It's a subconscious thing, but having a deadline just makes them more urgent to actually call you back. So there's you call 6 times in 6 days, you leave 5 voicemails out of those 6 calls. There's a lot more to it. We spend a whole hour teaching this in the class on my script sales method, but that's the really fast flyover.
No, I love it. Thank you for giving that to us because it is something you teach in your program, which is really good. Which, by the way, anyone who wants in to know Script Sales Method, we end registration November 30th. It will not open again until after family reunion in February. And what's great about it is the 12 sessions she's already done are recorded, plus there's 18 that are already on demand. So you can enroll now, and then as you wrap up the year, get into the holiday time, you got plenty of stuff to go watch and practice. Anna Kruger, thank you. I'll see you in a little bit. And we're answering Terry's story's question. So Terry, I hope that helped you because you asked about this one and you know, what's your best voicemail? And I open it up to what's your best follow-up with just a random lead that comes into your space. They raise their hand and yet they might not call you back right away and be super engaging, but over time you can turn it into business. So we're hearing your takeaways and thoughts. Sherry Lamb.
Oh, wow. I wasn't ready. Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You sound great. Good
Okay.
morning.
Hey, good morning. All right. On the Maria Sims group, we have a CRM that we use, and so it's put in there. But I usually call and say, "Hey, good morning or afternoon. This is Sherry Lamb with the Maria Sims group, Keller Williams." It's a mouthful. I saw that you were interested in a property. Did you have specific questions, or would you like to go see it?
What
Huh?
happens next, Sherry?
Well, that's usually a text, so that's actually
Okay.
not a voicemail.
All right.
So. But on the voicemail, I do say something along the lines of, "Hey, it looks like you were asking about 123 Main Street. Would love to talk to you further about it." So it's not like Anna was saying, spammy. It's actually a specific. I was taught to do a call to action, so get them to do something. And most of the time, I get a call back saying, "Oh, we're just looking or whatever." But at least now I know it's a real person. Real information, and they will go back in my database. I don't do 6 days. I'm really lucky that I've been doing this long enough that I don't have to do a whole lot of cold calling. So I tell people just stay in business for a long time and it will come to you.
It's good. We're getting good advice today, different ways to look at it, which is great. Terry Story, thank you for asking the question. Amal, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, good morning, James. So how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. Good, good. The first forgot the beautiful agent who said call 6 times, 6 days. So when she leave a message saying call me today at 6 p.m. or whatever. So this is one day. So if she said this is one day, what about next day? What she will say? Really, I'm curious.
Anna, is it the same message or is it a don't leave a voicemail sometimes? I know you have a full hour you teach on this, but are you able to answer Amal's question?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you
Yeah.
great. Yeah.
Okay. So your first voicemail is somewhat vague because that does pique curiosity. So the goal here is appeal to all the personality types. So call number one, no voicemail. Call number two, a voicemail, but it's vague. So it could just be, "Hey, this is so and so from real estate. Call me back today." And that's a little curious. And then voicemails two, three, and four, you have different value adds. So I usually say, just what would you say in the listing presentation or a buyer presentation? That's good fodder to become a voicemail, but keep it very brief. Because what you don't want is to remove the reason to call you back because you overshared in a voicemail. So you want to just give a little snippet and say, "Hey, when you call me back, I'll explain more." And then your last voicemail gets the most callbacks and your tone of voice matters. But this one, you just it's, "Hey, I've called you a whole bunch this week. I don't know if you're just busy or not interested. Would you call me either way? I do not want to pester you. And if you want help, I want to help you. So can you just let me know what's going on?" That one gets a lot of callbacks. I wish I actually have thought, I wish you could say voicemail one. I'm about to call you a whole bunch of times. But I think it makes you human when you leave a voicemail like that. And it invites, it's okay if you're not interested, just let me know. And so it just invites open communication. So basically, vague, then three value adds, and then, hey, let me know what's going on. Those are your
Friends,
five
take Anna's class. That's just the bottom line. If you really want to get better at
steps.
this stuff, she gives you, Anna Kruger is so kind to give you so much on here just out of her heart. But I would tell you, if you like this stuff at all, you just need to get your credit card out and pay. That's the bottom line. But James, you're always asking for money. Actually, I'm not, number one. And number two, you charge for your services. So I can charge for mine and Anna can charge for hers. I think you just need to go in and this is an opportunity to grow and get better. And Anna, thank you for always being willing, so
You're
willing
welcome.
to give on this call. I'm just so thankful for you. Amal, did you have anything
Thank you.
else to add or did you
Yeah,
get the clarity you wanted?
no, really, it's very clear. Thank you very much. It was curious what we should say every day because of, but she explained it very well. Thank you
Well, you know,
very
one
much.
of the things we've been talking about a lot is process, and what you say is part of your process. How you follow up is part of your process. The questions you ask are part of your process. If you're reflecting on the year and you're going, I'm not super happy with my results, what I've been saying the whole time is let's remove our obsession over that. Let's not be obsessed over the results and instead go investigate our process. And you have parts of your process that work and parts of your process that don't. Everybody does. I do, you do, everybody does. And so what we have to do is go figure out what part of our process isn't working. Is it your follow-up? Is it what you're asking or saying? Is it those things? I think it would be really, really important. She's done 12 sessions already. We close off registration in 10 days. It opens again after family reunion.
Thanks for the assist, guys. I'm driving, so I
You're
definitely
welcome,
got
Anna.
that.
I got
Thank
your
you.
back. I just appreciate how much
Thank
you give,
you.
and I just want to remind people that you actually are a professional and knows what you're doing. And they could pay you too for their services, just like they charge for theirs. Anna, thank you so much. Dawn Little, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to second that, James, because Anna has been amazing, and I'm going to shout you out again because her class and just coaching with her, it works. Because I do almost everything that she says. I'm not going to say I do everything, but
We're not asking
the
for perfection over
timing.
here, Dawn.
What's this?
So we're not asking for perfection. You're
I
good.
know.
Yeah.
Well, I know because now I'm not a perfectionist anymore. I just get it done because that's just what you have to do. So I leave the messages. I'll just let them know that I'm introducing myself and I want to get, to find out what their, what their motivation is or what they're looking for. And then I do the same thing. Like, give me a call by X time so we can discuss further. I don't say that every single time, but then I add different things in and I've learned to not keep going because the shorter the better, because then they want to call you back. It's not going to happen every single time. I think I've gotten like a handful of people call me back and then they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry I missed your call or I didn't call you by X amount of time. And it really does work. So it, you may not want to do it every single day, but at least as long as you're calling them at least four times a week to get them motivated to call you back, it really does work. So just being yourself and making sure that your tone and you're happy and you're smiling and you sound like you're somebody that you want, somebody wants to call you back and it really does work.
They reached out to you, right? I mean, they're the ones that went on your website or whatever and submitted the lead, and we don't know where they are in their journey, but not reaching out to them a handful of times doesn't make any sense to me. Some people that are like, oh, I'm just going to call them one time and go from there. They raise their hand for a reason, and they'll let you know if you're bothering them by not returning your call or letting you know they don't need you when you finally reach out. And some of them will tell you they don't need you in a way that's polite, and some people will tell you in a way they don't need you in a way that's not so polite. But we just look, we're looking for every opportunity we can possibly have to fill that pipeline. And I just want you to follow a process to be able to do that. Thank you. Cindy, good morning.
Good morning. So usually they're calling me to list their house, and so they'll call and be curious on the website or whatever. So I just say when I call back the first time, exactly what Anna does. I don't leave a message. The second time I say, "Hey James, this is Cindy Shetterly with the Cindy Shetterly team, and I'm so curious. You had left a message and thinking about selling your house. Well, you couldn't have picked a better time. The market is perfect for you now. It's the buyers that are out there are really serious. So give me a call back today and I'd love to chat with you and find out more about it.
That's it. It's that simple. Thank you, Cindy. We got time for one more. Kay Condon, you get the last one on this. And then thank you for helping out Terry's story.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, James. Yeah, I just started picking up the phone the last couple of days saying, you know, I've got all these numbers. Pick up your contact list in your phone and type in the word buyer or seller. And I have a whole list of people that I haven't talked to in a long time, and get out of your head about contacting them. I texted a couple of them. The first two people, and literally that I texted first, they didn't get back to me. The next day I called them, left a message, short, brief. Hey, I've got your number in my phone. Trying to remember where we met. Give me a call back. Literally, that's what I said. Neither one of them called me back the first day. I called them both back yesterday, and I picked up two serious buyer leads who don't need to sell their house to buy something. They gave me the rundown. Hey, I'm sorry I didn't call you back. If I would have thought, oh my gosh, psyched myself out and not called them back. I literally have two people right now that want to buy houses in my area. You know, and I literally said to them, hey, I made a joke out of it. I have your number in my phone and I really don't remember where I, you know, first met you, or did we meet at an open house, or I just talk to people all the time. That's my business. Can I still help you? Are you still looking? They both said yes. And they're in a very good price range for this area. So get out of your head and call your people.
There's so much opportunity. And how many of you do have people saved in there as buyer lead, seller lead, blue house, you know, stuff like that. And I love just the full transparency. Hey, at some point our paths crossed. We talked real estate. I don't remember what it is or when it was, but you know, I just thought I better reach out and check in. And nothing may happen. Something may happen. Who knows what'll happen, but give yourself the opportunity right now. By the way, that's the difference between a pile and a pipeline. A pile, because people asked about this the other day, what's the difference between a pile and a pipeline? A pile is, I have a bunch of numbers in my phone and I don't know who they are and I should probably reach out to them. And a pipeline is a list of people who you know have a desire to transact and you kind of have an idea of their timing. You can take your pile and turn it into a pipeline by just reaching out to the pile and finding out what their plans are and then getting them into the right rotation. It's totally great. Good stuff, Kay Condon and everybody else. Terry's story, was that helpful? I know Terry's on this morning, so I just want to hear from Terry's story. Yeah, what's the takeaway for you?
So Anna challenged us to come up with our own objections as to what we could say. And I'm like, what better way to handle that by throwing it out to the Pivot community and see what they all have to say? Leverage it out.
That's the whole point of the group, Terry. So I appreciate you taking advantage of it. I love you for that. You are my favorite. Terry, you've been in Anna's program. I mean, you make $1 million a year selling houses. Why in the world would you be in stuff like that?
You know, part of the reason is you can never have your skills tools sharpened enough. And I'm passing it along to other members in my office and in my team. So I'm always learning based, and her class is absolutely fantastic. It's spot on.
I love it.
And communication is so important. You've got to be able to, you get a lead, and if you're not converting them at a high level, you're leaving a lot of money on the table. So that's one of our weaknesses in my team.
No doubt. Terry, thank you. Always good to chat.
My pleasure. Bye.
Hey, everybody. What's up? It is 7:59. Good to see you. It's your friend, James Shaw. Happy Thursday from Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, it's such a great day. I get to hang out with South Park Market Center today. We are doing a shift workshop. I'm so excited. Never had more joy and happiness inside of my heart than right now. So I'm so glad that I get to hang out with people today. Then I go home tonight. I've been home since Monday. Go home tonight. We got a nice week for Thanksgiving. Tomorrow's our last call, and then we have all of next week off for the Thanksgiving, and it's just going to be a great time. Thank you for choosing to wake up and be here. It's a really smart decision that you've done. The calls we're having here they're better now than they were in the pandemic. I was telling them the other day, forget where I was, it was either Raleigh or Myrtle Beach yesterday. When people tell me, oh, I was on your calls back in the pandemic, I'm like, that is so offensive. That is so offensive because you act like all of a sudden everything is perfect and wonderful and a pink fluffy unicorn dancing on the rainbow. And the truth is we've got to grow our skill set and get better. In fact, the market's probably more difficult now than it was going into the pandemic. And so I give you cheers this morning for choosing to be here at 8 a.m. Eastern time to practice your skill set and to grow and to get better, because that's what we do. Today, we are all about building a process. We have spent all week talking about, removing this obsession we have with outcomes, not having stress and anxiety going into the year because either A, you wonder if you can repeat it again, or B, you're worried you will repeat it again, and instead start to build out a process. But people are like, well, I don't understand like what my process should be. So I'm going to lay out over the next 2 days how you build one. And those of you that have a process, you can use this to evaluate, are there adjustments I need to make to mine? And those of you who are unsure where to start, does anyone ever feel that way? Put it in the chat, that you know you should do something, but you're not quite sure what it is. This maybe will help you figure out what it is. Before we do that, a couple will tell me something good. Darla, good morning in Chicago.
Morning. It was great seeing you at Advance. Everything was
fabulous. I'm so happy to see you.
I just wanted to, something good is that today I'm going to 2 closings, a buy and a sell. They are 5 and 6 of 7 that I've had since September. And then last night I got my seller accepted the offer on number 7. So now I'm kind of at a place where now I've got to really get back to business. But it's been a roller coaster couple of months for me.
Darla's selling everything in Chicago right now. Everything in Chicago. And Amiko's asking if I heard the 6-7. I did. That's why I went like this, 6 and 7. Darla, you're doing great. I'm so proud of you. It was great to see you at Advance. It really, really was. I wish I got to see you more. Hopefully you'll come next year too, which would be awesome. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It was also great to see all of you in Advance last week. And I want to tell you all something, not just good, but amazing. So 2 years ago, my child was in 7th grade, my oldest, and he was a travel soccer player, switched to basketball. And I kind of was like, okay, we're going to switch this. But he tried out in 7th grade and 8th grade for the middle school team, didn't make it. He tried out for AAU. It took him 3 times to make it, but he had such a great attitude about it. And he was like, Mom, I see you, like how you just stay focused on what you do. And that was like really kind of cool for him to say that to me about a year ago. And I thought, if you put your mind to it and you work hard, it'll show up. And he's like, I'm locked in. I said, me too. We're locked in together. Let's do this. So he tried out for the JV basketball team for his high school team last week, practiced. He went to every open gym, practiced probably 15 hours a week, and he got 1 of 15 spots out of 58 kids. And last night, it was so cool, drove to his first scrimmage 2.5 hours away. I smiled and dialed the entire way, talked to 10 clients, had 2 closings yesterday, and got 2 new buyer leads yesterday. So I just, like this week, just what we've talked about, I've loved the vulnerability, the shares, the openness. It just shows that really, if you put your heart and mind into it, it'll show up. And sometimes it may not show up exactly the way we want to right away, but it will. I just can't, like, hard work doesn't go unrecognized. So
congratulations to your son. Your son is actually the perfect example as to what we're talking about today. He had very little control over whether or not he made the team. The coach is looking at 58 kids and is going to go through and choose the 15. I think you said there were 15 spots. The coach is going to go through and choose the 15 players that they think are the right fit for the team. And so your son doesn't control that. But what your son did control is how he showed up. You told me, you said he went to every open gym. Is that right?
All of them, 3 a week for at least 60.
60 open gyms.
Yes.
60 open gyms. He tried out 2 other times and didn't make it. Like his willingness to just say, what is my process going to be to give me the best shot to earn the opportunity? By the way, had he not earned it, he could have been player 16, right? He could have been 16th on the list and not gotten in, but he would have left there. This is my guess. He's certainly been disappointed and frustrated, but he would have left knowing he put in every piece of it that he had control over that he possibly could. And the result was the result.
May I add one thing too? So I've been so like amazing rooms with you, 3 rooms with you this year. And he went into some amazing camps. So I did lock in with some, he sharpened his craft with not even just open gyms, but we also did some camps and just was in some amazing rooms. And I think that that's something to think about too, is like, who are you spending time with? And I don't know, this community is the best. So thank you for calling on me. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You as well. You're welcome. I'm sorry we're not coming to Richmond for Thanksgiving this year, or I'd wave to you. But, you know, here's the deal, is that be like Melissa's son. Be like Melissa's son and follow a process that's going to give you the best opportunity to reach the goal you want. The whatever happens, whatever outcome happens is beyond your control, but the steps you take to get there matter. That's exactly what we've been talking about all week. Like, I want you to think about what a process focus versus outcome obsession looks like. And so I took some notes. Process is just a repeatable set of actions that move you toward whatever it is that you want. And so you have to figure out what those repeatable actions are. Here are the things to think about. A process is specific. It's repeatable. It's measurable. It's boring in the best way possible. And it's something you can do even on a low motivation day, right? It's specific, repeatable, measurable, boring, and something that you can do even on a low motivation day. What a process isn't is a goal. So when I ask you, I'll go in and do this in Facebook probably tomorrow. I'll go in the Facebook group tomorrow and say, what's your process for 2026? And I want you to watch people who say, like, sell 36 houses. That's a goal. That's not a process. That's an outcome, not a process. A process is not a goal, a result, a hope, a long list that you cannot sustain. A process is pretty short. So you want to take more listings. That's a goal. That's totally fine. But your process is talk to 5 people every day out of my database. Hold 2 open houses every single week. Send out 5 equity analysis reports a week. Like, that's your process that you figure out. So I broke it into kind of 3 parts of a good process. If you were going to build out your process, build it in these 3 parts. First, a daily action that's non-negotiable, small and consistent. Daily action that's non-negotiable and is small and consistent. In other words, it's boring. Some type of weekly action so that you have these over the next week. I used 5 equity analysis reports as an example. I love those from Chris Ruskowitz. I think they're really smart. So what's a weekly action that you're going to take? And then finally, what's a monthly action, which is likely some kind of review? Because you want to remember that your process should lead to outcomes. And if you're looking at the outcome, and we need to look at the outcome and measure the outcome, and if we're not happy with the outcome, instead of getting frustrated and disappointed with whatever the outcome was and then blaming or justifying it in some way, like blaming the market or something else, we go back and investigate and ask, is it the right process? Is my daily action the right daily action? Is my weekly action the right weekly action? You review it every single month. So I want you to think about, as you're trying to evaluate your process, I want you to think about some questions. Here's some questions I wrote down. What worked this year? What worked? What was it that led to the positive outcomes that you wanted? What brought you those closings? And by the way, that shift pages 54 to 57. That's where you can go in and do the exercise to figure out what led to the outcomes that you wanted, so that you know what parts of your process work and know where to amplify those parts of your process. Here's another question. What was it that you felt like gave you momentum? What activities did you do that you felt like brought you momentum to your business? Maybe it was a specific client event that you hosted that brought a lot of leads your way. Maybe you hosted, D Hudson Seller Seminar, and that brought a lot of momentum to your world. Figure out those things that brought momentum and do more of those. Here's another one. What's the simplest daily action you can commit to? What's something ridiculously simple that even on your worst day, you know you can do? What is it? Figure out what that is. Is it talk to 3 or 4 people? Just commit that I'm going to do 2 database calls a day. Where are you overcomplicating things? Figure out where you're overcomplicating things. Ask yourself, where in my process have I made it more complicated than it needs to be? And then finally, this one. If I'd ask you right now to commit to 1 daily action, what does your intuition tell you that is? Put it in the chat. I want to know. If I said right now you have to commit to 1 daily action, and be specific, Thomas, dial is not a daily action. If I said commit to 1 daily action, what is it? Put it in the chat. I want to know. And so the thing that you've got to answer is, what is your 1 daily action that you're going to commit to no matter what? What is your 1 weekly activity you're going to commit to no matter what? And then how will you go and evaluate and measure your results each month? I want you to figure out those three things. That is the foundation of the process. Now, tomorrow, we'll talk about how to track your process so you know if it's working. But that's the foundation of it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I'd love to see some hands about your process and what are you committing to daily? Maybe you've committed to it already and it's working. What is it that you already know straight up led to result this year that you know you have to keep doing? Was there something that happened this year that gave you great momentum? I just want to know about it. Mark Martin, we haven't heard from you this week. Let's start with you, buddy. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me share. I think back to what John Acuff said about lowering the bar in order to reach your goals. And that's what I think of when I think of what you're talking about here. So I was got on my first call with the new coach that I have. And she was, you know, lead gen wasn't happening. And she said, well, can you do 30 minutes a day? Just 30 minutes a day of lead gen. You know, call if you don't, you know, if you're feeling like tired and you don't want to talk to people, can you text? Can you just spend at least 30 minutes every day doing this? And man, I've been more consistent. And again, just a little bit of progress every day is better than this day where you do this huge amount, you wear yourself out, and then for weeks you don't reach out. So that's, to me, that's a repeatable process. I can get on the phone 30 minutes a day. And if I don't have the energy to call, I can text them, or I can get on social media and reach out to people. And so that's been a help to me.
I 100% want you to lower the bar. I would like for you, honestly, what I tell many of you, as I'm looking at the chat right now about some of the stuff you put in there that you're going to do, I would say take it and cut it in half. I would rather you take this, like some of you said, you want to talk to 10 people a day. Man, I would take that, cut it in half, and just commit to 5. Because 10 a day, that could be an hour and a half. That could be 2 hours. I would just, most of you, I think you need to take whatever you put in this chat and cut it in half and start with that. Now, we can let it build as time goes on. Crystal Johnson just said it, build the muscle. We can let it build as time goes on, but commit to something so small daily that you have no choice. Now, eventually what will happen, I see you, Mark, I'll come back to you. Eventually what will happen is you'll look back and go, ooh, that result isn't what I want. So now you'll go back and you've already built a foundation of something that you can build on. But instead of trying to build this elite thing from the beginning, start out so small that you have no choice to build from there. Mark?
Yeah, I love that you said it. It's a muscle. You are going out and you are building the muscle to do that. And you're going to have a day when I have more time. I'm going to have a day that I have more time. And I'm going to spend extra time. Man, it's rolling. It's going good. I can go for an hour, go for an hour and a half. But again, if I just have that small goal every day, it's going to build. And I won't spend long on this, but I wanted to mention this Effortless by Ian McEwan. He talks about these two different groups that were trying to get to the South Pole or the North Pole. Can't remember which one. One group was like, whenever they could, they just went out and did like 15, 20, 30 miles. But the other group was like, we're only going to do this much a day, and we're going to do it every day. So no matter if it was like blizzard conditions, they did that much, but they put an upper limit on it. And they said, we're not going to go past this. And the group that did that made it back. The group that was just like every now and then they were just going really strong. Those had so much more death and didn't turn out good for that side. So there's a lesson there for us. Put an upper limit on what you're going to do.
I agree with all of it. I agree with all of it. I love that. You know, one thing I'd committed to this year is a minimum of 10 minutes of cardio a day. That's not a lot. Like, that's not going to get me to be super fit and strong. But what it does do is on a day like this week, I've been gone every day and just getting up early. And so it's just been hard. A lot of travel and late nights and stuff. So I've just been, when I get to the airport, I usually have an hour. I just don't sit. I just walk the whole time up and down the concourse. And that's counting. I'm counting that as that minimum. I'm making it so ridiculously simple that it cannot be missed. And then on those days where I go, all I have is 10 minutes, then I did my 10 minutes and I sit. But most days I'm out running 3 miles or, you know, 4 miles or something like that. But it's just the commitment is something so small that I can't miss it. Oh, and by the way, Barb Whitney will be happy to know. Not that Barb Whitney cares. She doesn't care about this. But I put on my 34 pants and they fit this week. Let's go. Let's go. Rico, you're next, buddy. What's up?
Man, now we could share. Look, we were the same size, man.
There you go. All right.
All right. So look, so my biggest thing is, you know, I'm an action person. You know that. So, you know, I go after it every single day. So my biggest thing is, you know, like I was saying, I'm more about take action more than anything. So just lately, the past 3 months, I've been getting to the office every day by 8:30. I'm literally about to pull up right now. Getting there early, spending the first 30 minutes of script practicing, And then just literally just lead generating. I mean, for me, that's my biggest thing. I'm big on lead generation. I came from a call center place, so I don't mind sitting there and calling 50 to 100 people a day as long as I know the results work. Where I measure myself at a higher level lately is every single day I've been getting dressed up to come to work because my coach got me door knocking if I don't hit my one appointment a day, which I do not like doing that. So I'm gonna do everything I can to make it happen. Even if it's an hour left, like yesterday, I was super busy and the only time I had was from 4 to 5 o'clock yesterday. So I just made it very strategic to just make sure I made all my calls, talked to the people that I needed to, measured the results, which is the night before I go to bed, I recap and see what I did the night for that day and then start preparing for the next day to make sure that I make it up. But my biggest thing is just having that flow. Making sure nothing stops my lead generation every day from 9 to 12. I'm at the office, locked in, locked up, and then I take my appointments after lunch.
Rico, I love it. You figured out your process. And this is what I'm asking everybody to figure out. Figure out a process. If you don't have one, start with something small and let it build from there. That's what you're hearing on this call. Jack Smith, good morning.
Morning, sir. I think the thing that we get asked the most is how do we build a business we built so fast? And the bottom line is we start at 6:30 in the morning with Ellie, then we go to you at 7:30 to 8:20. And on the way to the office, I listen to the podcast. On my way to an appointment, I listen to podcasts. And the other thing I do that really has really helped is calling 15 people on Pivot that I have never spoken to before. Just saying hello, simply saying hello. And then following it, putting it in my, I do it every 3 months. Following it up. And the only thing I can tell you is on the DTD2, Dean Moss and Louise Weiss are the only ones that ever call me on the DTD2 days. That has changed my world. Do the DTD2.
It's a really smart process. That's a process again. It's just go and figure out what is it that I'm going to show up and commit to every day. Here's what I'll ask you to do today. And we're going to get to this again tomorrow. There's 12 hands up that we aren't going to get to. So I'm sorry I'm not calling on you today, but we're doing this more of this tomorrow. We're building out process tomorrow. I know William is disappointing. I hear you, but I have to go get in the car because I got to get to set to the thing in Charlotte by 9 o'clock and I'm far away. What I want you to do is think about those simple questions. What's your process? Next thing I need you to do is go open your Instagram. Go open your Instagram at James D. Shaw. And I've posted a 90-second kind of video on this that A, you can watch to get some clarity on it, but then B, I'd ask that you'd share it so that other people can see what we're talking about in here. Because you can tell from the number of hands we've had up this week, and it's a Thursday and we have over 900 people on the call. Normally on a Thursday, we're in the high eights. We have 100 more people than normal on this call today. That means that the interest is there. We got people listening to the podcast in Switzerland and South Africa and all over the world right now. There is interest in what we're talking about in here. I need you to go to your Instagram at James D. Shaw. Look at the video I posted on this today and share that. First, you need to watch it for a reminder, but then next, share it so that others know what we're doing too. So will you do that for me? Put it in the chat that you'll do that for me. I appreciate it. And then tomorrow, we will be back and better than ever to continue to unpack this process piece. We'll see you then. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. Charlotte, I'll see you in about 45 minutes. Bye, everybody.